Welcome everyone. So just a thing that I wanted to mention before we start. I wanted to try something new with these sessions, shake it up a little, if you will. So some of you might know that I'm currently a few months into a year-long diploma in coaching supervision. If you asked me to describe it in three words, I would say ego death. it's pretty stretchy, that's for sure. So it's kind of fun. But I thought what I might do, just to kind of give you some fun stuff to play with, I think it's fun. But also just to kind of add a little bit of that flavor into these calls. Is to share just some supervision exercises at the start of the call as a way for us to just kind of land, and it might spark something for you. And I just think it can be maybe a way of just kind of opening ourselves up to some of that self-reflection goodness. So this comes from a book edited by Michelle Lucas, 101 Coaching Supervision Techniques, Approaches, Inquiries, and Experiments. So she went for the brief title, but it's just packed full of ideas, and there's some quite fun stuff in there. So I thought I'll randomly search for some exercises, and we can start with that. So I used this to start this morning's call as well, and it went down a treat. So I'm hoping you enjoy it too. So this comes from positive psychology, a positive psychology approach to supervision. What you find with any kind of supervision model is that it will have its roots in a body of work. So there is no right way to do any of this, much like coaching. Positive psychology, as most of you are probably aware, is really about how we thrive. So it's very interested in things like strengths and values and all of that good stuff. So the inquiry for you is to play with a metaphor. So I just want to invite you to reflect on the question of when you are coaching at your best, it's like what? So when I'm coaching at my best, it's like what? And feel free to just think about what represents good coaching for you. What's a metaphor for that? And I'm just going to give you a couple of minutes to write, and then I'll invite whoever wants to share to share. I'll just give you a few more seconds. Okay, so when you are coaching at your best, what's it like? Does anyone want to invite us into your metaphoric world? Yeah, Susan.
Okay, so it's really important to know that my metaphor is actually something I don't personally know how to do. But the first thing that came up for me was surfing. And I just had so much to say about that. I'm alive, I'm in balance, I'm fully embodied, I'm connected to the tools, to the wave, to the board, to the clarity of purpose. I'm in the moment, but I'm also looking ahead a little bit. I'm looking for how things change, and I'm incredibly responsive to what comes up. It's just this feeling of being 100% alive in all of my senses. So anyway, I got excited about sharing that because yeah. I've only surfed once and I sucked. So it was none of those things.
Well, as you're reading that back to us, what I feel is like, wow, there's just a richness in that, right? It's just so, it feels very, like you're almost like you're trying to describe a felt thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, and so I wonder, like, what does it give you to know that's what you coaching at your best feels like?
Intuitive first response is that when I feel a certain way, I'm on the right path. In other words, only I can be a barometer of that.
Yeah.
With, of course, the feedback from the client. Like, I'm paying attention to the nonverbals as well as the verbals when I'm with my client, but I'm alive to it as opposed to fearful of it or ignoring it.
Yeah.
It just makes me feel okay about how I navigate my own process. It feels affirming. Yeah.
Nice.
Good question.
Good question, right? Yeah. I love that share. Thank you, Susan. That's beautiful. Anyone else want to share their metaphor? Yeah, Marion. You just need to unmute when you're ready.
I did. I just did.
Perfect.
So the very first image I got was a flow. And then I thought, and for me, there's just this, I enter into a state of deep, deep stillness and deep flow with what's going on in the conversation. And what I notice, staying with my water metaphor, is that from that place, it's like the client joins me there. And then it's like almost like, you know how a spring rises up out of the ground. And I see this sort of this excitement, this liberation of sorts, and this just joy that as something comes together for them, as something that they've been seeking in this, maybe this moment. And so water seems to be the deepest, but for me, it's that deep stillness, the deep stillness that I'm in, that somehow holds the coaching moments for me at my best.
Deep stillness. Yeah, love that. What does that give you, just being in that energy? I can feel you slowing down as you're describing it, like you're getting into that state almost.
Just even talking about it. It's not that there isn't joy or laughter, like that can come through that. It's more, it's like there's such a deep connection, or that I'm able to hold everything in that moment. And I can go with them wherever they're going, but in a way that supports flotation, I guess, of some kind of moving forward. And I know that, you know, one of my most astonishing moments was feeling my whole mind go quiet. Like, so not even, like my whole mind went quiet and I could hear the questions just sort of drop in as I needed them. Yeah. And that struck me as kind of a miraculous moment. Mm-hmm. I don't get there all the time, but I often hold a kind of a deep quiet.
Yeah.
So wouldn't make me everybody's favorite kind of coach, but that's where I go. When I'm at my best.
Love it. Love it so much. Yeah. I love these comments that are coming in. There's something about that presence, that that I feel when you talk like that, about that stillness. It's like this, the presence of you is there. So good. I love, Steph, that you had one that wasn't watery. Everyone's this morning was watery, and the example in the book is about water. So I was like going, what witchcraft is this? So I'm loving, oh yeah, so you guys are, okay, great. So Soph is also like, Steph is wings in the air and Soph is flying a kite. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. Swimming naked underwater, Ruth, of course. Yeah, love it. Love it. Yeah. So good. I guess this is the thing is, I think when we were talking about this morning, there's a sense of this being, I was thinking about this later today, this afternoon, that there's something about getting into metaphor that allows us to access a feeling state that's not necessarily about words. It seems to be more imagery than cognitive understanding. But I think there's something about that feeling state that can be like almost like a conscious choice to get into it before your coaching. So that you, as you're waiting for someone to join your Zoom call or whatever, it's like, oh, let's get into that. Yeah, exactly. Tapping into that felt sense to prepare for a session. Yeah, really cool. Nick, mine was also about dancing. And yeah, it, fluid and flowing and sometimes really freaking awkward. And we're standing on each other's toes. But there is a sense of wanting to connect, you know, in some level to some rhythm. Trying to find that rhythm. Yeah, really cool. Awesome. Thank you for playing, folks. That's really cool. I hope that was helpful. Okay, so moving into cases, anything that you have with clients, with your business, with you as a fabulous human. Does anybody want to stick their hand up and ask for support today? Who's got something? Yeah, Marion.
Unmuted. Thank you. Thanks, Sass. So I want to talk about a client that I worked with this summer where I felt none of the things I've just described. So, and I also want to kind of acknowledge that I'm starting this conversation from a place where my emotions are really up high. I've experienced a rupture in an important relationship today. And so I'm trying to kind of dance between Coach Marion and ruptured emotional Marion. So if you see tears, it may not be because of anything that we're talking about. It just might be touching something there. So,
thanks for that context.
Yeah. Important, right? So this client that I was working with this summer I experienced a state of overwhelm, which I had not ever experienced before as a coach. I've certainly sort of worked with complex situations, but I went into a complete state of overwhelm, and that was alarming for me. And I had meant to come to an SBCA, and then I missed that opportunity. So I'm really glad to be able to go back and revisit it, because I'm experiencing it again, a state of overwhelm. I think, oh, what's happening with me? So I'd like to get some insight. But can I describe the situation? Would that be helpful?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So the client I was working with had pots boiling over in almost every area of her life. She was in a major financial crisis with not enough money coming in. She had major health issues. They were deteriorating and getting worse. And she no longer trusted the Canadian health system to fix her. She wanted to make a decision about whether to stay in the country or go home to Europe and to live with her mother. Living with her mother brought up like tons and tons of issues. She had a great deal of unresolved grief about her divorce from her husband that was constantly bringing her into a state of depression and anxiety. She wanted to learn how to experience anger, and she wanted to learn to trust her decisions. So one of the early things we did was we did do a life map. And rather than focusing her on just the facts, she told a story, and it was pages long. And by the time I finished it, I was in a complete state of overwhelm because I was seeing so many pieces of the pattern. And I think one of my gifts is I can zero in, but this particular type of what I call almost an octopusy client, like everything is going like this and it's always in motion, meant that my stillness capacity is not a good match maybe for their energy. And then I tend to move into octopusy energy myself in terms of feeling, I don't know how to help this person, because what I do is I try to hold one piece of it, and we talk about that piece, and I think, oh, there we go, we got that little piece, isn't that great? And then they'll sometimes, even at the end of the session, they'll go, well, that won't work because so my experience in that instance and with my current situation is that I'm chasing the decision and the clarity with them, and I'm completely missing, I think, the thing that's driving the lack of clarity that's underneath all of that. So then I began to think about I believe what I should be doing is, first of all, just affirming how difficult everything is and how interconnected it is. Where I get stuck, I believe, Sass, is because sometimes having the gift of really seeing what's happening, or having a way of viewing what's happening in my language, is how do I present it so that it's not diagnostic or labely, or how do I stay at the level at which my client's awareness is at, so that we can move into an inquiry about what's going on in the conversation itself. Because when that flipping backwards and forwards, I could do this, I could do that, but this is terrible for these reasons. But if I don't do this, then this terrible thing will happen. And then this awful thing will happen. And then, but you know, I can't trust my mother. And then I can't, and you could hear my, yeah. So I'm in a state of overwhelm and I didn't know how to shift out of that. So that's the, then I'm not accessing what I do and how I show up best. That's where I'm stuck.
Okay. So what is it that you want to get from this conversation?
It's how to use that moment when I see things. And it's not what the conversation is about. It's to go beneath it in a way the transition is gently done, so that I'm not talking past my client. I'm staying with them. And so for me, there's a translation I'm needing to do in my head that I sometimes don't do until I step away. Like, it's like, once I step away, I can sometimes see it and think, you know, but in the moment I'm having trouble sometimes when I am tracking things at a level that are maybe not where my client is at. Does that, I don't know if that, that's how I see it right now.
I just want to make sure I'm responding in a way that's helpful. And I guess what I'm hearing is there's a story that you're telling yourself. This is my impression. Tell me where I'm wrong. That there's a story you're telling yourself that I should be able to hold all of this and hone in on the exact right thing.
Yes.
So that my client walks away feeling different.
Well, when you put it that way. But yes, that is the story I'm telling myself, is that if this is my gift, then why is it not should be able to use this gift for this client? Yeah. And, you know, really thought she was a remarkable human being, and I really wanted to be of service to her, and didn't feel I could be. So yeah, that's the story.
So there's the story, right? I should be able to help this client. Mm-hmm. And then we come back to the beautiful image you've painted of the client, of an octopus with pots boiling over. And she's trying to do this. And it's like, I see you kind of standing in the kitchen doorway going, what should we do first? And she's doing this. Does that feel about
yes? Right? And yeah. She'll give me, I've asked those questions, like, where would you like to focus? What can we do today that would be most helpful to you? Yeah. And then, you know, so I'm guided by what the client says is important to her. And then of course it's not, she's now over here with the other pots and abandoning this pot for the new pot that she's noticing. So,
So you've got a client with a complex life. And I'm wondering, like, as you kind of stand back now and sort of see the octopus dancing in the kitchen with the boiling over pots, what do you think's happening for her? Like, if you look at the whole thing, what do you think's happening?
I'm going to have to feel my way through this one, Sass, because I actually don't have a really clear answer.
Yeah.
So it feels to me like there is something about landing one place that is terrifying for her. That being in any one place is to put her at risk. Oh, this is making sense of her life map right now. Yeah. Her life map was really overwhelming in terms of the levels and layers of terrible betrayal. And so vigilant would be a good description of her.
Right.
So from a trauma lens, she is vigilant on all fronts. And so if we just stayed focused on one, it meant all these other fronts. So I think there was maybe terror in staying with just one thing somehow. Does that make sense?
Makes so much sense. Does it make sense to you?
Yeah, it does actually. I'm almost relieved to be able to see that, because one, it opens up a lot more compassion and gives me some better ideas about how I could have maybe been with her in a more, bringing my presence to her. Because I am told sometimes my presence brings people into an experience of calm. And I didn't feel I was able to bring that to her. And
you may not, right? Yeah. You might not. That your magical presence might not quite
it's magical. I don't mean to sound I'm magical, but sometimes I feel like people feel I'm a pill.
Use whatever metaphor feels good. But it's like, it may be that all those things are true, that you have both advanced presence. That has always been my experience of you, is that you have a very well-developed sense of presence for all different reasons. That's how you present in the world. And I can imagine that for so many clients, that is deeply affirming and comforting. And it could also be true that for this client, that actually exacerbates her overwhelm, because she's like, whoa, this woman is going to make me sit still. And I am way more comfortable in the kitchen with all my arms going and all the pots boiling over. Like it, and I think what you're describing, like just as you're describing that image, I'm seeing a critic scapegoat pattern that is operating in a sophisticated way. I'm going to work really, really hard at never getting out of overwhelm.
Oh, that my client had the critic scapegoat pattern.
Yeah.
Or is it me?
The client.
My client, yes. Okay. Yeah.
Does that resonate?
Never getting out of distress, because that's what it felt like. I would, that's a beautiful way to describe it, is that it was keeping her in a pattern of distress, constant distress, and constantly looking for relief, but not.
And being, I imagine, sorry, Marianne, carry on.
No, I'm done.
From what you've just shared briefly about her life map, that is familiar to her. So it will, on some level, feel safe because it's what she knows. She knows how to be vigilant. You know, the octopus with the boiling pots. She knows how to do that. What she doesn't know is how to probably prioritize. So I wonder if that helps you just to kind of maybe makes a bit more sense of the dynamic you've got at play here.
Yeah, and I think another thing that I would, as I'm thinking with you, and thank you for this, is in an odd kind of way, because she'd experienced so much betrayal, in a way, I don't mean to sound, I wondered if she was actually setting me up to betray her trust also as her coach, that I was also going to let her down. And she was doing what she knew how to do to stay in the world in a way that made the most sense to her. Oh my God, I wished I'd seen that then.
Yeah.
That's what was, I think, happening, is that she didn't. Because I remember asking her, you know, do you have a friend that you trust? And there was one, but they were a long distance away. She didn't get to connect with them very often. But I was very curious that she'd had an experience of being supported and not betrayed and loved and seen and cherished. And so in that instance, I had a client playing out her pattern with me. Oh, yep. Okay.
Right. I would say that's a very accurate reading of the situation.
Okay.
Which also makes sense why it was so difficult for her to slow down, yes, and be with one thing or even contemplate prioritizing, because she's like, well, you're going to leave. It's only a matter of time. This is what I know.
Yes.
And yet her healthy self was like, this isn't sustainable. Mm-hmm. I do need help. I just don't know how to ask for it.
Yeah.
So something that happens, I think, when we have clients with really complex lives like that, like this is such a beautiful example, is that we can just get drawn right into the story, because the story is so rich and seductive. And I imagine there's so much in there, and it's like, whoa, where can we go? Right? And actually, the story is probably the least useful part of this. It's the meaning making that is where the gold is. So there's this thing, right, about content and process. Some of you may have heard of this. It's very much a kind of therapeutic idea that we have the content of the story and then how we process the story. So the content is the kind of thin narrative, right? Which is, this is what happened. Let me tell you what happened. And when you have a client with a lot of trauma in their history, that becomes a distraction technique. That's a survival strategy. Let me give you all the context. And I can both push you away and enroll you in my story. It's so sophisticated, right? And then there is the process part. What are we going to make this mean? And what do you want to do about it? And that will become really, really difficult unless there is an acknowledgement that the story has not much, is not as important as the process. The content isn't as important as the process. So I'm wondering, Marianne, if actually what you had here was a client who was in this very very sophisticated protector, right in survival strategy mode. No wonder it was hard to coach with her. She didn't really want to be killed at this point because she couldn't really trust that that might happen.
And she didn't trust she would be able to continue to see me, and she didn't trust, you know, she, it was, so I was also at risk of disappearing at all times. And so that really made creating safety really challenging.
In terms of actually working with a client in this kind of context, I'm wondering if you're kind of getting some ideas now about maybe what you might have done differently, or maybe that still feels a little foggy.
I could test some. Then please add. I think I would aim to deal more with affirming and also maybe being curious about the underlying emotion state a little bit, just to kind of get proper names on that. And then with the proper names, maybe inviting whether or not we can maybe look at what's happening in the conversation right now, you know, that it, like the process of the conversation. And I think rather than me starting with my observations, I would ask the client to give me some of theirs about what they may or may not have noticed. And that will give me the clues I know I need to perhaps use an entree point of something they've noticed to get curious about it, so that they start to build maybe some competence in their own awareness of their process. And maybe we can get to some names from that. I think talking this through is really helping me see a very different way in which I could have worked then and now. So,
Well, I think the thing about the clients that we end up feeling like we've somehow let down or haven't done our best work, I mean, they become our greatest teachers. And I think sometimes they don't even realize just how incredibly valuable they are as a sentient being who is doing their best to be in the world. And also how much we learn from being with them. What I would offer is just by recognizing, oh, the way through this is to name the dynamic that you're observing. Right? What I notice is there's a lot going on in your life. And I wonder how that is for you telling me about that right now. So you bring them right into process. Out of content, right into process in this moment. And there's kind of nowhere to go, right? What's it like to tell me about your life right now? How are you feeling right now? Just get into your body. Encourage them to do that. See where that goes.
That would probably bring me into my body.
Well, also, and right? I think this is part of the challenge, right, is when we have like really well-developed empathy, we can, our mirror neurons are just firing off in all directions. So I think paying attention to your experience of your kind of somatic state, your feeling state, helps you to get an insight into what it might be like for the client. So a few times you said, I felt overwhelmed, she was overwhelming and overwhelmed. Like that was the theme. Everybody's overwhelmed then. Yes. So
and it was such a new experience for me. I thought, right what do I do with this? Wow, I'm overwhelmed. And I named it, but I didn't know what to do with it, if that makes any sense. So this is really helpful to kind of like also take myself back into my body. name what I'm experiencing, and then use that to kind of bring it into the, invite the client to also have awareness. That makes a lot of sense to me. And then just on the vague possibility that if I did that really well, what would I do if my client went right? Well, I would just, I know the answer to that. I was going to say, what if they went right back into the 10 different things that are going on with them?
Yeah. You go right back into, what's it like to tell me about your 10 different things right now?
Right. Okay. Yeah, I get it.
And it's like, at some point, they're probably going to get pissed off with you.
Oh, yeah. That might
happen. It's like, do you want to know why I keep asking this question? Like, yeah. I'm really struck by how much of the story you want to give me, and I'm totally fascinated by your story, and I'm more interested in how that's showing up for you right now, like how you're feeling about that right now, what's going on, because then you're going to get to a belief at some point. You're going to spot a belief: my life is too complicated, you know, my life is overwhelming, I'm overwhelmed. Could we explore that? Right? Can we go with that? And it's about, I think, as well, letting your client know what happens in coaching, because she might not have read the brochure. Right? She's in the kitchen with the pots, right? So it's like, so what we do in coaching is we take some of the ingredients from your life and look at where you might need some additional support or resources, and I help you figure out, you know, what you want to do, help you make some choices. And it's not, you get to choose, because you can carry on being overwhelmed if you want to be. And I totally recognize that there'll be some of that that you can't influence and change. But even still, I want you to recognize what choices you do have. So part of this journey in coaching is about helping you feel more resourced in your overwhelming life. You know?
Yeah.
I wonder what that kind of approach does to your story, that somehow you need to do a better job, come up with a magical solution.
Well, it alters it fundamentally, because that's not my job. That it puts me back into standing beside my client instead of trying to put my client in a cart and take them somewhere useful.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm really mixing all my metaphors today, but it moves me more into being a companion to them as they make their decisions and their choices than it is about being the martyr savior that we all know that, you know, is my secret other identity.
It's your undercover cop.
One of my nicknames is the stealth empath, because, you know.
And all you did, just want to reflect back, all you did was left her in the kitchen for a little bit and then stood back and watched what's going on in the whole thing. And what you can also do is share that image with her. Here's what I see. Come stand with me and let's have a look together at what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're not both in the kitchen trying to manage the pots. You're both standing back and watching the pots and going, what can just boil over? What doesn't matter that much?
Yeah.
You know, what doesn't need to be tended to right now? What can you just turn the heat down on?
Yeah. So in that way, you working with the metaphor, which I'm loving, is you get to then talk about what's happening without being in the content. The metaphor is a process tool.
Metaphor becomes the middle bit that separates it from the client. So that subject-object theory.
Yes.
The metaphor can become the way of objectifying it.
Yes.
And for clients who are quite metaphoric in their language, if they're quite flowery in their language, if they bring that in, they'll love it.
Yeah, she was actually an art therapist, just to make life kind of even more fun and interesting. She was this tremendously self-aware woman who'd done an awful lot of work around trauma and everything. So she was lovely. I really, but you know, overwhelming for me. And I was just, she's my teacher right now. So thank you.
You're very welcome. And there may be a way that you want to close that up with her.
Yeah.
And this is just about trusting your own discernment.
Yeah.
Right. But it could be that you let her know that you're thinking of her, that you've been, you know, really reflecting on the relationship. There may be an opportunity that you might want to say, could we have a conversation? If that feels appropriate, good, all of that jazz. I just think sometimes, you know, it's like, throw the freaking rule book away and go, what is actually the best human to human response here? And sometimes that can mean that you take a little bit of a risk that feels measured and appropriate, let go of the outcome. You're not asking her to take responsibility for you. It's more about, would it help you to kind of close this up?
That
may or may not appeal.
It appeals deeply because it appeals deeply. So thank you. That's a beautiful. That would actually be healing for me also.
Yeah.
It's a really unfinished piece for me. And I'm so grateful I was able to be here today.
Yay. We're grateful too. Gosh, you go read the meeting chat. Everybody's like, amazing. Yeah.
Okay. I will read the chat.
Does that help you, Mary?
Pardon me?
Does that help you?
It helped me tremendously. I'm feeling, wow, it's so interesting, to see the start of the conversation and your kind of tension and worry. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. Oh, no, I've got oxygen running around.
Yeah.
And I got this. And I, oh, wow, I learned something. And I get to be better after this. So it's like I just feel buoyed. Oh, there's that water image. I feel buoyed.
That just fills my heart. So yeah. I'm so glad to have been here with you and all of this. Yeah. And what a gift to everybody.
Well, yeah. Thank you.
So generous of you to share that. Thank you. Being vulnerable in our bits and bobs is never fun.
Yeah. I was thinking, oh, this is not my best day to be vulnerable because I didn't feel very strong coming in, but it was really great. Thank you for the way you helped. Hold the space here.
Thank you, Marianne. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, take care of you tonight. Yeah.
I will. Thank you.
Okay. Good. Well, a beautiful share. Nicola's got a hand up. Hello.
Well, I have kind of a similar theme. Hello, everyone. And some of what you shared, I can kind of even like, it resonates and I can use, but I'd love to also do sort of like a client, just talk it over with you.
Sure.
So it's a new-ish client. We plan to do about 6 months of work and we've done a few initial sessions. And basically her goals are around wanting to cultivate and sort of follow through with healthy habits in her life and wants to have better like emotional, physical, cognitive well-being and sort of has a self-identified pattern of just heavy overworking, like works her own business, two jobs, lives alone. And I have the sense as she keeps painting the picture, like work is so predominantly, it's the absolute bulk of her life. And so that was the goal. And she knew and identified like I'm having trouble actually turning that desire into action. So I think I need a coach because like just having the intention isn't working and I know the benefits and so on. So we started with just some exploration and some questions really helped me, like life biography questions. And I'm so glad that this program like helped me feel the courage to ethically do that. I think I used to feel more avoidant of asking, but so it helped me understand that like, and it was moving to her to recognize like, I never felt safe as a child. Actually, I've always had a high, we didn't use all the language, but a high vigilant pattern and work, work, work. And she had a very ill mother growing up and she had to do a lot of, you know, she had to call the ambulance at times and she would have to be, you know, and then her mother died at like, her late teens or early 20s. So we were sort of connecting dots, and then the work she went into is even a health profession. And she was like, I never made those connections. And she's mid-50s now. And so the other pieces that she wanted to start right away, I wasn't going to lead with, hey, let's move right away into experiments or action, but she wanted to, and I sort of thought, why not? Like, well, if she tries a little experiment, again, but there's no attachment to what happens and we'll learn. So she wanted to start with sleep. Like, there's movement is one goal, and sleep and time for a bit more leisure and creative things. So she thought sleep, and she wanted to do not take her, like, cause she just works, scrolls mindlessly exhausted for 15, 20 minutes and then goes to sleep. If she wakes up in the night, she'll even often reference her screen and then rinse and repeat. So she wanted to not use the screen and maybe try a novel and just start. And basically over the first month, let's say, and we've met a couple more times, it just seems high resistance. You know, she's had a little teeny tiny, like one night I could do this and one night I could do that. But for the most part, very stuck, resistance really high.
Yeah.
When I've done some of the things that I feel like, even a little bit what you were talking about with Marion, like I'm recognizing high contextualizing, like I can see that in action and I'm aware that it feels like I've got a survivor self. When I've asked questions to invite her, like, we'll do three breaths to start and let's just check, like, what do you notice in your body? And you know, when you ask a question and they answer, like she didn't even answer something about her body. Yeah. Or like, it's just story. So I guess I just am curious to hear your thoughts. And the most, where we left it recently was like, she recognizes that something is really stuck. Like, and she's like, I don't even want to track. I don't want to learn because it's frustrating to see that I'm just not making any progress fundamentally.
Right.
And then I've invited her like, hey, like that idea of like win or learn, like you can't fail. And the goal isn't even that you come back with a sheet of gold stars. Like, what if you took a few notes, like what's happening or what you notice or what you feel? And she's pretty much said no, like that might, and basically kind of that could get too dysregulating. So I've tried to do some of that reflecting. Here's what I see. And then the most recent I invited, I said, I gave her the metaphor of the brake, the driver, the concept. If risk is in the driver's seat, like psychological risk, then that brake is going to be on so hard. And she could recognize, we played with that metaphor. Like, here's your goals. Here's what you want. But right now, even a little experiment, we're mostly seeing the brake is fully on. And she, like, so her healthy self was there because she was like, and she said her biggest takeaway was, and so we just said, we're totally letting go of putting the gas on. We're going to get curious. And the intention is that next session, we'll do some uncovering protective beliefs. I feel like it's been so much context that I haven't heard them.
Yeah.
And so I guess it's like, almost like if I'm getting the sense of Marion's and it's the octopus, this almost feels like someone who's so here, it's almost flat and opaque.
Yeah.
If you follow my energy of the sense.
Yeah. So I'm curious, Nate, what, how would you describe your dynamic with her?
Well, I guess what I noticed last session was, I felt,
and Matt, and I just want to invite you to kind of go up from the sessions. Like, when you think of, so the sessions are all down here and you're up here and you're just looking at how that all figures out.
Yeah.
And if you think about the relationship that you have with this client, mm-hmm. what is that like? What is she and what are you?
Okay. Well, okay, I'm just playing with it. It feels a little bit like, as if I think I'm in my curiosity and I feel compassion. Like, I haven't noticed major judgment, but it's almost like I feel like this, like if I'm picturing myself moving a little bit, like almost like, and in that I'm wanting to dance with you, or like, it's almost like a little bit of a sleuth is the metaphor that's going to be like, I'm trying to figure out how to connect. And the feeling is as if I'm getting shields, like every step. Yeah. And not entirely, you know, that time when I said, did you, something about that safety as a child, like the tears just sort of came and it felt like, okay, there's a moment like that of connecting or a moment.
I love that picture though, of you doing your dance, grooving around, and she's shields, little bit of let you through and then shields. Yeah.
And it's so strong. I guess it's just like, I can be even aware. I think there's a certain part of my.
So just as I'm just going to interrupt you, as you can just let me. So as you're getting shields, what happens in you?
Well, I noticed, okay, if the contextualizing is going on, the shield is, there's a little bit of restlessness in me, like in a little bit of, oh my God, it's subtle. But a little
bit. What do you want to do?
Okay, like it's not where it's flaring, but if you're just asking, it's like there's something of like, oh my God. Like a little bit like it's not, I can tell we're spinning up here and I don't want to. Like,
and what do you want to do?
Like it's a little bit like, I want it to stop. I want her
to. Oh, I'm feeling that. Yeah, just cut it off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interrupt her.
Yeah, but I feel as though I shouldn't. That's okay. Maybe a little bit of attention.
Say more about that. What happens when you get interrupted? How does that feel? I've just done it about 7 times. Yeah.
If I were interrupted?
Yeah.
Well, as someone who can also contextualize myself or at times get there, I think when it's to serve me, it's okay.
Yeah. Like, are you noticing I'm interrupting you a little bit as you're talking? And does that feel okay?
Yes. And I felt aware when you said, hey, no, stop for a minute, that I'm like, oh, isn't that funny? Like, am I subtly having my own? Let me stay with the story of how it is to be with this client, da-da-da. Like, just again, wondering if there's a little tiny
bit. I wondered if you were trying to enroll me in the story of how difficult this client is.
And it's not so much, it's more like I'm just like, I guess that part of me that's like, what do I do with someone when I just keep getting a shield. It's not entirely familiar to have a client be this protected.
Totally. And it's frustrating, right? Because you're like, would you put your bloody shields down and then I could maybe help, right?
Yeah.
But and like you said, but you're getting the shields. The shields are there. You have to talk about the shields.
Plus, if I think of you a little bit like a little mini sass in my head, just that voice, like a survivor self is not coachable.
So you have to talk about it. You have to talk about the shields.
Yeah.
You have to name it. And what you're describing, Nick, is a client who is very identified with her work. That is her safety.
Oh, yeah.
That identity is so precious to her.
Yeah.
And she may not be ready to let anything pierce that.
Yeah.
So when you're getting the shields, it's like she's saying, whoa, you're getting too close.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't feel safe.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful metaphor. I mean, I think you've absolutely nailed the dynamic from what you're describing.
Yeah.
But that is her basically saying, stay back. It's too much. She's literally putting a shield up in front of you, between you and her. So naming that, I think, is really important.
Mm-hmm.
And this idea that you're doing a dance around here, trying to help, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what if you stopped dancing? What would happen?
Well, I'm honestly curious, because last time when there was this, like, I guess it's like, I'm curious, first of all, I almost feel like I don't quite know fully. Hmm. But I also feel like, I guess, some emergent new possibilities could happen just by me stopping my side of the dance, right? And it's almost like I don't know what I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, it also crosses my mind, like, she could spend much of a session in that defended place. Like if I...
Yeah.
So it's also just a certain... I think that's also honestly possible, that some sessions feel a little bit like we still kind of stayed here. Like...
Yeah.
We're so high. And again, I don't think I'm expecting myself to be a total rescuer. Like, I think there's enough healthy self in me that's trying to just navigate it. And I guess to even be like, so even that could be okay. But there's a little bit of something about that that feels unsatisfying.
There's something here, I think, as you're describing this dynamic, where you're doing a lot of work in the sessions. So she doesn't have to.
Mm-hmm. Or we're just not getting under. Maybe like Marion, with that fantasy that we could.
Well, and that, and I guess that's the thing, right? It's almost like I see you doing that dance in order to be the magic solution. To somehow be the one that goes through and under and helps her to see all that is possible on the other side.
Right? Yeah.
And I think in your shoes, the question I'd be asking her is to just say, hey, look, I really notice like there's a lot of resistance here. So the way we usually work with resistance is to go to like the simplest, most doable thing. So we can play with that. But I'm also curious to know, what is it that you are willing to change?
Because
mm-hmm. What I think happens when you've got a really strong, over-functioning person, heavily identified with work, is that they've learned for really good reasons, and it sounds like you're starting to uncover those, that they have to be deeply self-reliant.
Oh, she said, when I asked a question, like that idea of like something almost like, what could you ask like for others for support, or that idea that safety could be internal? And it was, I didn't catch it, but it helped me with Scott and Lisa. They were like, her answer was such a thin story, which was like, no one, but it was no so one. Strong. Absolutely no one could.
And so work is her safe place. Right? Because that's where she gets to be self-reliant all the time.
Yeah.
So the thing is, when you've got that over-functioning work-identified person, they will also, I imagine, and this is something to check out, there'll also be a potentially unconscious story. I can be a whole new person and nothing has to change.
Well, the other,
right, so I can make all the changes that I want to make, but I don't actually have to give up anything.
I think these will be good explorations. And it was kind of neat, like to point out just gently, like her own contradictions, because it was her own goal in her own words.
Yeah.
I want to cultivate these elements of well-being. I want my friends to say, Crystal doesn't just work hard.
Right.
But then when I had a question for her, one of her coaching homework questions that to just noodle on was, when else in your life have you expressed other parts of you outside of work?
Yeah.
Or,
and she may even dismiss any of those questions because she's like, who gives a shit? Work is the same.
She just went right on the defense. Because even though her healthy self, I want to be here. I want this bigger, more holistic life. It was only resistance that came up. It was, she said, you know what I really thought? Why shouldn't I have a life that's just work? Like, why can't that be virtuous? Like, why do I have to also do all these other valuable things? So I did the reflecting, like just noticing. And so it's almost like, I guess I just have to trust also that this is deep stuff. And we will gently almost like pull threads. And
I would offer that if she is coming at you with a lot of defensiveness, you can kind of match that energy a little bit and go, well, okay, so work's most important thing. Well, you've created that life. Why are you here?
Yes. Yes.
It's not a judgment or a battle, right? Cool. It's like matching the energy.
That's a cool, I'm going to take these.
My sense is that she is kind of pushing a little bit and seeing what she can do. Seeing if she can test you a little. So because she's super self-reliant, right?
I think beyond anything, maybe I've even
there's known. There's some storming, norming, forming going on here between you. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Seth.
So I would just offer, like, she doesn't have to be wrong.
No, right.
And she's created a life where she is deeply self-reliant. And she has a very, very full work life. And that sounds really important to her. So why is she here?
Yeah. Yeah.
And if she wants something to change, what would it be? Where could we start? And you can even say, look, I've been thinking about our dynamic and I don't like it. I don't feel like I'm supporting you in the best way I can.
Mm.
How do you feel things are going, dear client?
Ooh, yeah.
Is this working for you? Because I feel like I'm doing a dance and you're giving me shields. Mm-hmm. And I want to support you. I think you're amazing and I want to support you. So what if we just recontract a little bit here? What would that look like? Right? Like, I think you can kind of, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, you have this very beautiful, reflective approach and you are so tender with people, mm. right? And I know there's a little fire in you too, Nick, right? So she could be a way that you can kind of play with that part of you too. It sounds yeah. like she is robust and
yeah.
might welcome some of that from time to time, right? It's not about an all or nothing, mm-hmm. but it might be that you could bring a little bit of that Nick fire.
See yeah. yeah. And I feel your humor in there, which sometimes I have a seriousness, but somehow it's both and, like, just yeah. again, yeah. humor can be its own.
I've seen you be funny. That happened at least once.
And in fact, I've done some stand-up comedy and there's other fun, surprising oh, stuff. But I feel like this is helpful for me. I think I'm going to want to come back to the recording.
Yeah.
Because I think that, like, what's happening in the here and now right between us, I loved when you modeled that in the program, but I don't think I've ever done much of that. And just to be open for opportunities where that feels fitting and of service, like, I think that'd be a neat growth edge for me to experiment with. And I hope it could be of service, like, to the
relationship. Notice as well how many times I interrupted you because you are in the story.
Yeah.
Right? And you were like, oh, okay, I'm moving along now. Right, because we have trust, so it's all good.
Yes, right?
Yes. But I want it. But it could be a good thing to notice that you can interrupt people. It's all right.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have to be a really rude experience, right? You can just be going, whoa, whoa, whoa! I got that. What's happening right now? Right?
You know? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great. That's lots of little nuggets and seeds to take with me, Sass. Thanks. Cool.
Brilliant. Great cases. Thanks, folks. This was really juicy. Awesome. I'm looking forward to hearing how you both go. Yes, come back next month and tell us all the goss. We want to know. Thank you all for observing and being part of the holding of the space. And thank you for sharing. This was really fun. Hopefully, yeah, you can apply some of this and it feels helpful. So, yeah, sending lots of love. Bye, no. folks. Oh, Susan.
Yes, I want to put a plug in for Creation Station.
Yes, you second had like Wednesday. Half a dozen people last time.
Exactly, it was wonderful. Second Wednesday of every month, it's November 9th, 5 p.m. UK time, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern. Check it out on the Graduate website. I have my own button and I'd love to see anybody there.
We will send out a note as well. Thanks, Susan.
I'm going to do this every time, Sass.
So I love it. I love it so much.
Brilliant. Bye, everyone.
All right, guys. Take care. See you. Thanks for being here.